Back on Transport Topics Radio here on Sirius XM Channel 146 with Rodney Slater. He was the Department of Transportation Secretary during the second Clinton administration, and former Congressman Bill Schuster from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and he is the past chairman of the powerful Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Congressman Schuster, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Just one other point on the funding. Pennsylvania passed the revenue raises to get the money for transportation investment. It was a Republican governor, Republican House, and a Republican Senate. Nobody lost an election. My favorite case is in South Carolina, which is about as red a state as you can get. The legislature, Republican House and Senate, passed a bill. The Republican governor vetoed it. They overrode his veto. And again, nobody lost an election over it. So it needs to happen around the country. But the key is it takes executive leadership. The president of the United States needs to stand up and explain to the American people, with flanked by members of the leadership in the House and the Senate, and saying, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to spend the money. We're committed to it. Because people across America think if we give the federal government more money, they're just going to...
Again, it's going to go down a rat hole somewhere.
Exactly.
Question for you, Mr. Schuster. This concerns a process that used to be in place in Congress when you were there and when your dad was there. Earmarks. Trading. I got something in my district that I need, whether it's a port that needs to be dredged or a highway exit or whatever it is, but you've got something in your district that you need as well. Should Congress go back to that? Because it seemed to be sort of the grease or the salve that got a lot of things smoothed over.
I absolutely think it needs to come back. And let's call it something in an earmark. How about something like congressionally directed spending? And throughout history, we've done that. Now, it was only about 2% of the federal budget that would be earmarked. It was a very small amount, but it does a couple of things. Is I know my district as well or better than anybody sitting down at DOT or DOE. And so I should have input in where those dollars are being spent. And it also, as you said, it helps if so many times you have a bill in front of you, and if somebody doesn't have some skin in the game, they can say, well, I don't like that bill. But if you got some skin in the game, you say, I don't like a lot of that bill or some of that bill, but I'm going to vote for it because it takes care of whether it's money, whether it's a policy in there. Those are the kinds of things that bring people together. And I can tell you, this legislative process was not set up to create perfect bills. It was set up to create bills so we could all
consensus. Yeah.
Okay.
Consensus.
Rodney and I, we can live with this, and it's good enough. We can go, let's pass it, let's move on. But that's some of that process is just appropriations bills. So difficult to get an appropriations bill out. Back when I was in the early 2000s, when the earmarks were still around, we passed appropriations bills out in a bipartisan way regularly.
Yeah. Secretary, would that be a good idea?
Oh, I think so. And clearly, one of the benefits I enjoyed during my tenure as secretary and moving a lot of the measures was having this tool as a means for working with members of Congress. You know, some of them were considered demonstration projects, some projects of national and regional significance. I do think that there should be sunlight with transparency so that the public understands the process and everyone is above board in dealing with the merits of a particular project. But having said that, I think that having that as a tool is something that is very, very important to the process, especially when it is a small part and it's used for a strategic and specific purpose.
We seem to be, to change topics a little bit, right on the very early stages of a revolution in transportation with regards to autonomous vehicles and all of the things that are starting to take place in the freight industry, whether it's platooning or these things that we talk a great deal about. Where do you see the next 10 years, if you can look into the crystal ball, where do you think things are going to be at in terms of technology, Mr. Secretary, that's going to really transform transportation, whether it's freight or personal vehicles, whatever it is?
Yes. Well, I remember one of the things that we had the luxury of doing after we got major pieces of legislation passed during the second term of the Clinton administration was to actually focus on the future. And we put together this 25-year plan. So we were looking at the year from 2000 to 2025.
About where we're at now.
Exactly. And the objective was to look at the kind of system that we would need in the future. And one thing that we talked about was a system that would be intelligent in its character. In the essence of its being, it would be intelligent. It would be able to take advantage of the marriage of the concrete, asphalt, and steel of transportation in a traditional sense with the technology that was coming on board at the time. You know, we actually unveiled the first intelligent highway demonstration project in San Diego, California, during the first months of my tenure as secretary. Well, we see now the manifestation of all of those investments as we move towards total autonomy. But before we get there, you get things like automatic braking systems.
Adaptive cruise control.
Adaptive cruise control, lane correction, all of the kinds of things that we see in the system today and that we enjoy, those were things that were envisioned during that period. And I do think that we may see greater examples of automation in the freight sector, possibly earlier than in the actual vehicle car segment of the transportation industry. You mentioned platooning. I mean, all of that technology is there now and being tested. And a new transportation bill would allow us to take advantage of all of that. This was something that Secretary Chao actually talked about extensively when she spoke to the Consumer Electronics Show just a
couple
few weeks ago.
In Las
That's
Vegas, right.
right
yeah.
And she announced the 4.0 iteration of the autonomous vehicle technology and guidelines that the administration is putting forth for industry to respond to. I think that we're just there where we are beginning to see what can be. We're becoming excited about it. The private sector is investing in this area in exciting ways on a daily basis. And I think that we will just continue to enjoy those intermediate advancements, moving ultimately to a fully autonomous system, maybe not to be replicated in the same way in all parts of the country, maybe not so much in the same way in rural areas and urban areas, but I think you'll see some of the components in both. And I think that we will see it on college campuses. I think we'll see it on the campuses of big companies like Apple and Microsoft. We see them, Google, we see them investing in this technology now. 5G, critical to it. The advent of the fourth industrial revolution, critical to it. It's an exciting time for anyone interested in transportation and infrastructure investment.
Mr. Schuster, what's the future look like?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the Secretary. We're right on the edge of this moving forward. And one of the, as he just said there towards the end, the freight industry, the trucking industry, they're on the edge of getting to platooning. And I know that a lot of my friends in organized labor are concerned that if you have autonomous trucks, you're going to have less drivers. We already have over 50,000 a year shortage in truck drivers. And it was explained to me that when I know this is that the toughest driver to get, truck driver, is the long haul.
The guys and ladies do 700 miles a day.
It's hard to get, but if you're able to platoon three trucks, as I'm told, they'll get to the city limits of Pittsburgh or Baltimore. They'll sort of go to the bunkhouse, and then truck drivers will come out and take it the last mile in because it's very difficult for a truck like that to be driving autonomously. So this is a way for us to increase our efficiency, to take care of that shortage. And again, I don't think there's probably 50, 60 years out before you'll ever really see completely autonomous trucks driving in cities in this country. The other thing that you have to look at is Uber and Lyft and Zipcars. My son is 28 years old, and there's a young lawyer at our office that I work with a lot. Neither of them had vehicles. And, you know, I was a car dealer.
Yeah,
so when my son wanted to get rid of his car, it was heresy. I said, you're the son of a car dealer. You have to have a car. He said, I don't need a car. So when he travels around by Uber or uses the transit system here, if he wants to go home to Pennsylvania, he rents a car and drives home. He doesn't need to have a car. And the average American only uses their car less than 10%.
Most of the time it's just sitting in the garage.
And another piece of this is as you go to this type of technology and you've got these different services, parking garages are not going to be as necessary. People aren't going to own cars. You're going to be using the Uber or the Lyft or the rental car. And so we can repurpose in some of these urban areas, these massive parking garages that there will be no cars in it. So there's an opportunity to generate billions of dollars of economic activity by taking one of those garages down and building a building or whatever you need to.
Or building a park.
Or building a park.
Don't want to forget that.
Exactly. Smart cities.
Yeah. Exactly. We're up against a break here on Transport Topics Radio, but our guests are two esteemed members of Congress and a former member of the Clinton cabinet, Rodney Slater. He was the DOT secretary during the second Clinton term, and Congressman Bill Schuster from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Back with more after these messages.